You're listening to Play It Again, Swig. I'm Jocelyn Swigger, and I'm trying to learn all the Chopin etudes. I'm also trying to balance hanging out with my toddler, teaching full-time, and life's other distractions. This is my audio diary of that process. Well, it's Saturday, May 12th, and this last week was finals week, and I have to tell you, I'm feeling pretty fuzzy and a little incoherent, so we'll see if I make any sense today. I'll try. So it's the end of school. That means that I didn't practice very much the last week or so. There was a lot of catching up on grading, which I had fallen horrifically behind on. And it also took me a really, really long time to make the exam that I gave, and hearing piano juries and just lots of end of the semester fuss. So it was not a great practice week, but I am now heading into the summer and want to talk to you about a couple of mechanisms that I've got in place to make sure that I meet my goal for the summer, which is, let me tell you, I want to have Opus 10 and Opus 25 playable by September. So what that means is not necessarily that I play them in a perfectly polished way, not that they're necessarily up to tempo, and not that they're necessarily to my satisfaction, which I think might be a lifelong process, actually. But that I can sit down and play through them in front of people without having memory slips that are enormous and kill me, and without having to stop because I just don't know how the piece goes. So basically what I want to do is start playing these around in the fall at like nursing homes and dragging people to my house and cooking them soup and making them listen to me and that sort of thing, so that I can actually really start performing these pieces for real in January of 2013. That's my plan. So here's a couple things I'm going to do to make that happen. One is a really nice thing happened. An old friend got in touch with me whom I know from Chautauqua, which is an incredible piano program that I spent 5 summers at. And he lives in Maryland and wants to get together to play for me and have me play for him a little bit to just sort of give each other kind of lessons. It's not exactly a lesson when you're working with a peer, but it's a really helpful way of giving each other feedback. So we're going to do that over the summer. I'm really excited about that. Another is, of course, this podcast. I'm going to make goals each week for you and tell you what they are and hopefully meet them. Another is that I've got kind of a study buddy group going on campus with other faculty. There's one other musician in the group and the rest are actually scientists. So it'll be mostly about, I think, holding each other accountable for meeting our goals. Although you never know, there may be some interesting overlap when we talk about process, we'll see. But I think that's gonna be really helpful. And then another thing is, in a week and a half, I'm gonna go and have a lesson with my graduate school teacher, Rebecca Pennies. And I'm really excited about that, but I'm also feeling some trepidation, of course, because when you go from being a teacher and a sort of professional and an artist and go back into being a student or into being student in student mode, your ego can take a little bit of a beating. And I have to say that working on these pieces has completely been putting me in student mode. Like I really feel like I don't know what I'm doing at the piano half the time when I play these pieces. Maybe not half the time. But enough of the time that I feel like I'm totally, it's a very humbling process, as you'll know if you've been listening to this for a while. Anyway, I'm going to go have a lesson with her in a week and a half. And so I'm sort of shifting my focus right now. I was working a lot on 25 number 4, which is this one. And I was really trying to polish it. You know, I have my legs crossed while I'm sitting here talking to you. That's not very good piano playing. Posture. Let me put myself in a real place. Okay, anyway. So I'm not working on polishing that right now. Instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of try to figure out my triage plan for this week. You know, in the emergency room, they have a triage system where they deal with the most crucial, most dire cases first. So, you know, if you go in and your elbow is slightly hurting, they ignore you while they deal with the gunshot wound person. Or I guess you could have a gunshot wound in your elbow, but you know what I mean. Anyway, so I need to figure out my order of things that I'm going to ask. So my plan for the next week and a half or so is to look at all of these. But what I'd like to do for the lesson is concentrate on a couple of the etudes and then play just a few bars of a lot of the rest of the ones. So I'm going to walk you through all 24 of the Opus 10 and Opus 25 etudes, and I just haven't started those three middle ones yet. They're not in the middle, really. They're the last ones. But anyway, I haven't started those other ones yet. I'm just going to walk you through them today. And so it'll be a lot of playing that's at not a very high level, probably, because a lot of these have been not just on the shelf, but in the deep freeze. Anyway, I'm going to just start from Opus 10, number 1, which I may actually not get to in the lesson. This is this one. This is the one that I used for my introduction, which you heard a couple minutes ago. I might just play that much, and I'm sure that I could have a lesson on that much. That's not quite up to tempo, and the first page is the easiest page, so I may do more of that. There's a couple of tricky spots, like here. I'm going to do this a little slower. That is not great. So anyway, I need to figure out if I'm going to do just the beginnings of things or little spots. So I think what I'm going to do is fill up my music with little colored post-it note tabs. Actually, the one I really, really want to focus on, because it's been driving me crazy, is this Opus 10 number 2, which I just feel like it'll be the death of me. It's this thing. And that's just all I'm going to play of that right now. It's lumpy, it's loud, it's kind of ugly, it doesn't have phrasing, it's not legato, and it doesn't feel terrific. I mean, that didn't actually feel bad, what I just played now, but all of those other things were true. So this, I feel like I so desperately need a lesson on this, and I am probably going to start with this one. And I feel like if I can unlock this one, the rest of them will probably fall into place. 10 number 3, I think I don't really need a lesson on. This is this beautiful one. I need to make sure that I voice it really beautifully and that I have nice phrasing and that it works nicely. Nice is probably not a word I should use a lot for these pieces, because that's sort of lame and small. But anyway, I don't feel like I desperately need a lesson on this, and I think I'm going to leave it on the shelf. 10 number 4, I probably do need a lesson on, which is this one. But I think I'm just going to actually do that much, because that covers the right hand doing lots of fast notes and the left hand doing lots of fast notes. Ugh. So I think I'm going to have that be just the beginning of that one and then not too much of the rest. By the way, I wanted to say something about piano sound, or specifically about pianos. I'm playing on the piano in my office, which I have been for the last couple of months, because my tot wants to play the piano when I play the piano, so it's been really hard to practice at home lately. And also, I get up before he and his dad do, so I just come in and practice at school. I don't like this piano as much as I like the piano at home, and I actually practiced at home yesterday, and it was such an incredible feeling to feel like the piano was kind of giving me back something. And I don't feel like this piano and I are completely simpatico. Anyway. So sorry you're listening to the piano that I am not as crazy about. I'm maybe going to try to figure out a way to practice at home more during the summer. That's something to think about, but I won't bother you about that right now. Anyway, here's Opus 10 number 5. I think I'm going to do just the first few measures of this, but there may be a couple of spots later that I have to put my little colored tabs on. But this is this one. See, it's lumpy, it's not clean, it's sloppy, there's all sorts of things wrong with it. So I'll probably do the first few minutes of that. Don't really think I need a lesson on Opus 10 number 6. This is this gorgeous one. I think I just can let that rest. Okay. Opus 10 number 7, definitely need to make sure I hit, because I just have no idea how to play this. This is this thing with all the repeated notes. That's not about the repeated notes. That's just about me being incompetent. I do that. Anyway, so this, you know, I can play this fine if I don't try to repeat these notes. Right? I can do... In fact, I'll even show you this. Right? Like, that sort of works. There were a couple of little sloppy spots, but it mostly made sense. But to play it both quietly and with all those repeated notes, I haven't unlocked that yet. I'm sure it has something to do with keeping my wrist free and being smart about that, but apparently I haven't made that work. I think I want to do the first few bars of 10 number 8, partly because this is one of the ones that when I went and had a lesson several months ago before, she mentioned as being one that I wasn't playing well. She said that I was playing this like a bunch of meatballs instead of being clear. So I want to, I've been working on this. I hope it's better. And it is better, but it still probably has miles to go before I sleep. Yuck, that doesn't quite work. You can hear that there's all sorts of places that don't work. So I think I'm going to hit that. There's also... Oh, where's the spot? Anyway, there's a couple of other spots I'm going to need to look at. So this is also going to need some little post-it note tabs. I don't think I need to do a lesson on this one. It's on the shelf, but I think it's mostly okay. So I think I'm going to leave that one. Definitely need to do a lesson on Opus 10, number 10, because I just don't know how to do this one. This is this one. Ah! Okay. Okay, so... this is actually one that's all about articulation changes, and I think I've got the sort of main feel of it, physically what happens, but then of course the articulation changes are going to make the physical feeling a little bit different, and it has to work, and it has to be up to tempo, and it has to be elegant and clean and not sloppy, and all sorts of things that it is totally not right now. So definitely going to make sure I hit that one. Also definitely going to make sure I hit Opus 10, number 11. This one I just don't know how to play. It's so super stretchy. Oops. There it is. Oh my God, let me do that again. So I think just that much will be really helpful for a lesson. Don't really feel like I need a lesson on the Revolutionary Etude, which of course is this one. Ugh. I think I just need to practice it more and clean it up. It may come up when we're talking about some of the other things, but I think this one I can mostly let go. Although I will go through and find out if there's any spots I think I really need to look at. Okay. Definitely want to look at the very beginning of Opus 25, number 1. When in my last lesson months ago, she suggested that I practice it actually using just rotation, although that's not the way you want to play it eventually. So let me show you using rotation and then also using arms. So here's just with rotation. Sort of. And here's using arm. You can hear I haven't practiced this very much, but I do want to sort of look at it in a lesson just that much. That's just the first page of that. So I'm going to practice that, which I have not been, as you can hear. Okay, Opus 25, number 2, I think I do want to look at, because I think I've got it about as good as I can get it. I mean, obviously you can practice it more, but without getting some more feedback. It still has a lot of lumps in it. It's this one. So that's, I think that needs some help. But it's not quite as desperate, maybe. 25, number 3, I definitely need help. This is this one. Partly because I just freak out whenever I jump. And then these. The jumps. I need a lesson about the jumps. Jumps. So yeah, I need to make sure we hit that. 25, number 4, I'm going to look at with her, I think, although it may not be as desperate. I think I mostly just need to practice this one. But I actually do want to look at making sure that the left hand feels good, because I sometimes get tired after practicing this a while, which is this one. Wasn't bad. I actually played the left-hand notes and it felt good. So the thing that is tricky about that one, I know I've been talking about this one a lot for the last couple of weeks, but the thing that's really tricky about this one is that you have to jump in the left hand and be accurate. Right? But you also have to have the left hand be pretty free, or else you're going to die before you get to the first 8 measures. And so it can be really hard to have both freedom and control, right? And one of the things I say to my students all the time is that in order to really gain control, you have to relinquish freedom. And that's true, but it still is really hard to let go of it. So it's like I have to somehow, I haven't found my sort of perfect metaphysical place of being totally free and trusting that it's going to land on the right notes and having it land on the right notes. Sometimes I can do it and I can trust, but then it doesn't always happen. So I need to, I have to work that out. That's not there. So I could use a lesson on that. 25, number 5, I may just check in on. This is this one. And if I do, I'll probably also look at the B section, which is this thing. You can hear that that's not any kind of beautiful line at all on the left hand. I need to make that, but so I need to probably look at that. Probably could use a lesson with that, and also this part when the left hand, when the right hand goes faster, this part. Anyway, I want that to be really beautiful instead of sounding hard. Not sure I need a huge lesson right now on the thirds. I think I just need to leave it on the shelf and then practice it a lot more, but I may, depending on how time goes, may look at it, but you know, this is this one. Actually, I could probably really stand to talk about this descent. You can see that this is turning into a really long lesson I'm going to have, right? This is why I have to do my triage, because I have to really figure out what's most important. I don't think I need a lesson on the cello etude. I think I just need to practice the second page, which is all of this stuff. And I just haven't really practiced it. I'm not going to spend time on a lesson in that, I don't think. But oh my God, 25, number 8. This one I have to make sure that we do just at least the beginning of it, because I have I just can't even imagine playing this thing at tempo. Like, completely cannot imagine. Yeah, so I'm going to play that much for the lesson and hopefully get some pointers on how to approach this thing, because, wow, I just don't know how to do it. So I've been practicing this slowly sometimes for a while, but I just don't know how to do it. So I will look at that. Also, I do want to look at 25, number 9. Probably just this much of it. This is one of those ones that I played in high school, and I don't remember it being, well, no, actually I do remember it being hard. I remember actually this being one of the first pieces that I played. This is when I started studying with Evelyn Brancard, and so we were completely just like forming the structure of my hand and changing everything about how I played, because I hadn't thought very much before that about physically what was going on. So I remember this piece being a huge revelation that it didn't have to hurt. Like, the playing piano didn't have to hurt. And I had never realized that playing the piano hurt before, because I just always thought that that was what it felt like to play the piano. And then I started, you know, changing how I was playing and realizing, oh my gosh, this doesn't have to feel that way. And now I feel really tired when I play it. And I wonder if before, when I played it, I was as tired as I am now, but it felt so much better than it normally did, or if I actually wasn't tired. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's really hard to sort of match my perceptions and my abilities now to my perceptions and my abilities then. Anyway, right now I'm more tired than I would like to be when I play it, so I am going to ask for a little bit of help on this, but I don't feel like it's as desperate as, oh my God, Opus 25, number 10. This is another one. This and 25, number whatever, what was 8, which, yeah, this thing, the 6th, are the two that I most feel like I just don't know how to do this. This is the octaves. So the very beginning, I'm not actually as worried. The first 4 bars are just octaves, which, fine, you practice it with your thumbs, right? I haven't practiced this very much. And then here, this is the point where I need a lesson. So I think I'm actually going to start the lesson here. Let me play this for you slowly so you can hear what's happening. So we're in B minor, by the way, which is a nice place to be. So we've got the octaves, right? But there's also an inner voice that's happening at the same time, which is this. So let me play that for you slowly and try and make you hear both of those things. Hear it? Of course, this is a gazillion times under tempo. This is also a gazillion times under tempo. Oh my God, I totally can't play this. I would slam my head down on the piano, but I have the microphone headset on, so that would, I will not do that. But I'm tempted to slam my head down on the piano, so I definitely need to have a lesson on this. And I'm just not even going to talk to you about the mechanics of that yet, because I mean, I have some ideas about it, right? Like, I need to use my pointer finger here, and then it's, I think if I practice this with my thumbs and the long notes, that'll do a lot of the opening and closing that happens. So I bet that that's going to be one thing that's important to do. But still, I need some pointers on that. And then the last one, no, oh, sorry. Huh, I just obviously had a mental block about the Winter Wind Etude. Okay, not the last one. This is one that I practiced and got pretty comfortable with way under tempo. This is this one. I'm going to skip the opening. Has that been on the shelf, as you can hear. Anyway, I've been playing that a little bit faster. But it gets a little stumbly there. But that's still under tempo, is my big problem. So getting to the sync so that it actually is as fast as it needs to be, I need help. So I think I'm going to play just that much of the for the lesson, although there is a spot later that I'd like to hit also, which is where the left hand has all the craziness. I'm going to do this way slow right now. And then it goes back to the right hand. So I could use some help with that. Okay, now the last one. Now that I have dealt with my, I suppose, mental block against the winter wind attitude, is this the guy. Oh, okay. Well, I was going to actually play through and then make the point, but I'll just make the point right now. I'm missing a gazillion notes when I play this thing. I can play it slowly. And accurately. This is kind of what I was talking about the whole freedom versus control thing. Right? But that's really boring. Nobody wants to listen to that. What they want to hear is, and let me just, I'm sure notes will happen, but you want to hear some kind of phrasing in music, right? So. But, you know, ideally you'd like to hear that with some of the right notes. So I definitely need to hit that. So you can hear that there, basically all of these could use help, even the ones that I'm saying, oh, I don't need a lesson on that right now. But what I need to do this week is really figure out exactly which are the ones that are in most dire need. So this week is going to be all about figuring out my triage plan. And that is the plan for this week. So that's it. You can find out more about this project at playitagainswig.com. You can like my Facebook page, which I would really love if you did that. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jocelyn Swigger. And thank you so much for being my practice buddy.